You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. All right, guys, welcome to this episode. I am so excited. We have a really special guest here today. Marisa, who is copywriter extraordinaire. Welcome to the Passive Project Podcast, Marisa.
Hey, Gemma. Thank you so much for having me here. This is the most fun thing I'm going to do today. I'm thrilled to be here.
Ditto. So, Marisa, tell folks a little bit about you and your business. Just if they haven't heard about you before, know what you do, give us a little scoop.
Yeah. So I'm a copywriter and a copy coach, and I work with coaches and creatives, on unleashing your voice and taking those words like out of your head onto the page so that you can, you know, book up your one-to-one coaching program so that you can fill out your first group program. You can fill your live event, whatever that big goal is on your plate for the year. Let's use your messaging and your copy to go and do that.
Right. Amazing. So, and Marisa and I, for all of those of you who are listening, Marisa and I have worked together on some copy for my own business, and she's been a game changer for me, it's just been such a pleasure to work with you. So I want, before we dive into like some tips and strategies and kind of the meaty stuff, I want you to tell people what led you to copywriting, because I know you have a super interesting background. So I'd love for you just to share that quickly.
Yeah, it's so funny when people ask me is that, you know, I was an actor. So, and I got my MFA in acting, so Master's of Fine Arts in acting from Harvard. And when I went back to New York City, I had an agent now, because when you're an actor, you do a showcase, and I had a manager at the time. And there was going to be auditions all the time. So I couldn't go back to kind of babysitting what I was doing before or going back to waiting tables. I needed to kind of be able to make my own schedule. Like I wasn't going to tell my manager, oh no, I can't audition for this NBC pilot because, you know, I'm nannying or I'm like working in Times, you know, at a restaurant in Times Square. So I had, who ended up becoming like kind of my first client, but it had been like a life coach I'd worked with who became like a sister to me. She was in my wedding. Her name is Diana. And she was the person that said, hey, I know people in my world, like in this orbit of coming online, this was like, you know, 2013, of that need help with their writing. You're such a great writer. I think that this is something that you could do. So the first person that she kind of hooked me up with after her asked me to write a JV packet for her. And I had no idea what that was. But I was like, sure, would love to. I said, would you just send me a sample of a JV packet that you like so I can just get an idea of what you like and what you don't like? And that's how I learned, oh, a JV packet is a joint venture packet. I was writing an affiliate packet.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. And that's how I learned. So I would kind of be on set or at auditioning and kind of writing on the side. But what I realized is that all of the things that make somebody a great actor, a great storyteller, is all the things that make you a great writer and the chief kind of storyteller for your business. So I started to see my clients getting results or feeling like, wow, these emails feel more readable. They feel like a real person sent them, or the sales page, it doesn't feel stuffy. And I was like, okay, I'm onto something here. And I found that it just lit me up more than just going on auditions. And so for a couple of years I was doing both. And then about 2 years ago, I cut out the acting and just became, you know, my own business.
Isn't that incredible? Like what a different path you ended up taking, but using, like you said, a lot of those same skills and things you learned in your kind of academic training.
For sure. And I actually speak to my students and my clients a lot, especially my students that I'm teaching them to write for their own in the Copy Confidence Society. I speak it a lot in acting terms. I talk to them about, like, you know, we say in acting, what makes this day different than any other day at the beginning of a play? And that's the way I always say to them when you're writing an email, like, what's that core sentence or thing that you want to pull out? Or I talk to them about like, how can you be vulnerable here? What's your intention? If you're on stage with a scene partner, my acting coach, my teacher at Harvard, Scott, we weren't allowed to start the scene before we could say, if you and I, you know, me and Gemma are in a scene together, you know, what do I want to get from Gemma by the end of the scene, or her character? What's my intention? And that's the same thing as having a clear call to action. Like, what do you want to get the reader to do? book a call with you, go to the sales page, go to your blog. So it's like the same thing, but it helps people kind of wrap their brain around it a little bit more when I bring up the kind of acting terms.
So funny. So crazy. Yeah. So I know you mentioned in the intro, you work largely with creatives and coaches. Is that right?
Yeah. So I work, you know, mostly with kind of like the Gemma Bonham Carters of the world, like the female kind of like powerhouse, you know, course creators and like coaches who are, you know, creating big things in their business. And then for my students as well, typically mostly female coaches who are kind of, you know, wanting to kind of get their first, maybe their first course out into the world or fill their one-to-one coaching program. Like right. That first kind of milestone. Those are mostly what I do with my students.
Perfect. So for the people who are listening who might not have really even thought about copywriting before, because I know for myself as like a DIY figure it out entrepreneur who didn't have any background in business, I didn't think about the words on my website very much in the beginning, right? So can you explain what copywriting even means and like some examples of places where we might want to pay attention to it in our businesses?
Yeah, totally. You know, my mentor, her name is Mara Glazer. She's somebody that I learned like a bunch of my copywriting tricks from. She always says, and she was my first guest on the copy chat the first time I did it. She was my very first guest on day one. She describes it as like, if your copy sucks, your sales are going to suck. So there's this idea that of course you can make it out into the world and sell, but at some point you're going to feel this plateau. And usually we can pinpoint it back to like your messaging or your copy. Like if you're being super clear, like who you're speaking to, like that message is so profound. It's so specific, you know? So, but when we talk about actual, like the copy, a lot of times people think, oh, copywriting, like a lawyer, like people say to me, oh, you're a copywriter or something.
Right.
They'll say to me like C-O-P-Y. R-I-G-H-T, you know? And it's like,
yes.
No, this is the actual, like the words and the phrases that are on your website, emails, social media that are not only connecting with people, but the extra part of how you make that connection turn into a client, how it converts. So a lot of times people might think that, oh, I'm a great writer, I'm good at writing emails, but there's an extra component that's usually missing of how to take it from this thing that's like kind of nice to read to really compelling people to take action.
Totally.
That's where really a copywriter can kind of help you to help people take action.
Yeah. So I think one of the first places that we can kind of do an audit of our own copywriting in our businesses is our website, like that homepage that people land on. It's kind of like your billboard. So what kind of tips or guidance would you give to someone who wants to make sure that they have a truly engaging homepage?
Okay. I love this. So first off, we have to know what is the homepage's purpose, right? The homepage's purpose is to guide people to learn more about you and or go to your services page. So it's like the buffet that gets them in, like it's like it's to let them know in the sea of like, you know, the wild west of the internet that there aren't like tumbleweeds across your like storefront, that you're open and that you're guiding them along. And if we think about it, the homepage is where like our lizard brain is. Like I always say, like you have to make yourself like the Geico, like the caveman, the one of the commercials where they use like the caveman. And you have to make it so simple because when someone comes to your website, that first page, they're deciding that caveman, like lizard brain, like psychologically in their brain, if they want to mate with you or if this is something they want to fight or like leave. So when people try to give too much on the homepage or there's like so many choices or there's so much going on, the caveman is like, he's out. This is like too much. He has to land and know this is exactly for me. And then how do you do that then? So I always say this to people is that, you know, we have shorter attention spans than goldfish. So goldfish have 9 seconds. We have 8 seconds.
I remember reading that in your email and being like a little bit horrified.
Okay. So I want to switch it because people are like horrified when they read it. And I go, no, let's not be horrified. Let's like go balls to the wall then. Let's be as bold and specific as we can. Let's take it as a challenge to go, I'm going to be the person that keeps the attention.
Right.
But you don't keep the attention by being kind of like wishy-washy. And sometimes what happens is that people want to go into like the how-to. Like if you're a coach, you know the answer. already, you might know that the answer is like mindset. You might know that the answer is like, you know, this like kind of transformational or deeper approach. But, you know, for example, one of my students in the Copy Confidence Society, she's one of the leading practitioners of this thing called body rolling. And so for 30 years, she has a huge business. She's like the leading person that you go to. And for 30 years, she was saying before she joined me in the Copy Confidence Society that she didn't know how to describe what she did, like on the homepage. And it's because she was going to the how-to.
Yes.
She was talking about how like, oh, body rolling like ignites bones.
And like, it's who like, cares about that?
No, but really, this is what body rolling can do for you. It's the number one way to like self-heal injury, to melt the stress away, like all these things. So we changed her kind of headline, that bold headline, to call out to like the results that it was going to offer. And she didn't have to worry about the jargon or the how-to, because that's what she's going to show them once they're inside her world.
That's right. Yeah. It's like leading with that transformation.
Lead with the transformation and make it so specific. And I think people get nervous because they're like, well, excuse me, they want it to feel like clever. I'd rather you were clear over clever. We're not going for McDonald's, I'm loving it, Nike, just do it. We're going for like, if this is weight loss, like one of my clients, it's like healthy, permanent weight loss, you know, where women come for healthy, permanent weight loss, you know, and never diet again.
That's right. And there's no confusion. When somebody lands on that website, they're in or they're out because yep. they know exactly what it's all about.
Right. And then from there, from that bold headline, like for me, and there's an opportunity where I say, you know, unleash your voice. This is where you, you know, unleash your voice and fill up your one-to-one coaching program. Then you can have a little bit of your personality, because then I have below in parentheses, especially if you consider yourself heart-centered, but never, ever want to use that word again.
Right.
So there's an opportunity to give a little bit of the cheeky to let you know, like, if that's you, we might not be a good fit. Now, if you're in, you're going to keep scrolling. And now I've prepared you. Now I've talked to you a little bit more, like where you're at, you know, and then I introduce myself a little bit and I'm guiding you to the next page or so.
That's right. When I landed on your website for the first time, I saw that. And so I was like, yep, I got to keep going here. So I literally then read every single page on your website because it spoke to me. And I thought our sense of humor was similar. Our kind of like pop culture references were similar. And yep. it engaged me. And I sent you an email that day. Like, I couldn't wait to get in touch with you. So when you and I worked together, one of the things that we did was go through an exercise where you had me dig deeper and put things down on paper that I hadn't really ever thought about. So I had to like recount some old personal stories. I had to think through the words I use a lot in my own everyday language, that kind of thing. So why did we do this, you and I, when we worked together? And what kind of exercise like this should people do at home in order to improve their copy?
Yeah, because, you know, stories is how people has how we connect. It's like the oldest form, you know, we think going back to theater, it's the oldest form of where we're communicating with people is through stories. We're like, we're primed and ready to understand and connect with people through our related, like personal experiences. So sometimes people want to like in emails, let's say they know their program is amazing. Hello, like this is transformational. And they try to focus on the features, like this is what you're going to get and all this. And it doesn't resonate because it doesn't have anything like a personal like connection. And also it can sound like a little preachy. Now, of course, there are times where there's going to be an email where you're going to send kind of a little bit more about the features, but really to get people involved with you, it comes from those stories. So for me and you, it was digging deep to go, how does this relate to your ideal client? Because they want to know, you know, has Gemma gone through this for herself? You know, when we talked about like for you, like having that, when you had your old job and your dad kind of told that story at your wedding about like little Gemma with like the rainbows and like you were always so creative. And like, you know, there you were at your wedding, like, of course, so excited to be there. But like, just for a moment being like, wow, I'm certainly not like that Gemma. And like how you made your way there, like after you had your first child, like all those things, there's another woman out there that's going to go, wow, that's me too. That's the place that I'm in. And it's real. It's not from a manipulative way. That's a real genuine, like a genuine story that connects with people. And that's what drives our purchasing decisions.
Absolutely. You know? And I think a lot of times what happens is people create, whether it's the sales funnel, the sales page, their whole plan to launch their product, and they're focusing completely on the features instead of the transformation, instead of the real benefits that the end user is going to get as a result of going through their program. And so sales don't happen. And what people do is then think that they need to throw out that product idea and start something from scratch, because obviously this product doesn't resonate with people. It doesn't, it's not what people want. My market's wrong. I made a big mistake. And so they throw it out and they start fresh, when in actual fact, it's all in the messaging, and that's why it didn't sell. And so
100%. Yeah. I feel bad when people throw stuff out.
People starting from scratch when it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the product they created.
No, not at all. I would say a solid, I mean, of course there are some times where we have to kind of reevaluate, but I would say like a solid 8 out of 10 times, it's the messaging. It's that you've been slamming people with emails, you know, all the features, this is what you're going to get, all this, but people aren't buying the how. Again, going back to this homepage thing we were talking about, they're buying the results. So then when you can connect them, like, hey, here's Gemma, this is how I did it. You know, so telling that vulnerable story that connects with them. And then also adding like the other elements. So my friend, she goes by Sage now, but the artist formerly known as, I've heard like Tarzan K describe her as the artist formerly known as Sarah Greer. Sarah and Tarzan are on the copy chat this season. And they were both talking about kind of Sage's whole take on like buyer personas and like the different ways that people make decisions. And she kind of compares it. It's such a genius concept to like Friends, the TV show Friends. Mm-hmm. So she's like, depending on like who's coming to your site or your sales page or your emails, like there's the Monicas that like, they're not going to read like the longer emails. So you want to have a couple short ones in there that are just like, here's the facts. I opened the doors are open. Go check it out. Right. Yeah. Then there's the Phoebes, which like, Sage describes as the blues. And those are the people that want like the story, you know, okay. They want that. And I, Marisa, am such a Phoebe. Like, I don't even care what the program has. I just, if I'm connected to you, I'll buy.
Right.
I've never even looked, oh, there's a class on Wednesday. Oh, I can't even make it on Wednesdays. This happened to me with my coach now. I can't even make it on the day that we meet. But I was so connected that I was like, you know, and then there are the other people she describes like the Joeys. And those are the people that are like the fun elements.
Right.
So for you and me, when we did it, that's where we add the fun, like pop culture stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where we add the like Real Housewives. That's where we add like the fun, like the memes or the GIFs or the GIFies, whatever people call it. I never know if it's like GIF or GIF or whatever it is.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
But that's where we added those in, you know, where we had like the Lisa Vanderpump one, because those are the people that are like, that are going to kind of laugh along the way with you. And then as Sage describes it, there's like the Rosses, the people who are checking every single thing. And so those are the people you do want to write a longer kind of FAQ style thing for.
Exactly. Isn't that funny? Eh? You can really like in that frame of like referencing it as Friends characters, you can really think through that and think, okay, in this email, how can I get the Monicas and the Joeys and the Phoebes to all relate to this email? One.
Well, she says that, you know, not every, and we talked about this on the copy chat because I brought up the same thing because I wanted her to kind of explain this for people who didn't know, is that, and Tarzan was saying the same thing because they were together in the interview, is that not every email will hit everybody, but sometimes you will strike a chord where it does,
right?
Where you've been able to have like a story that then maybe the PS is like super short. That's like, hey, didn't have time to read what was up there. If it was you, passive project open, like check it out. It's going to be
right. And that gets the Monica.
Right. And that gets the Monica. And then maybe throughout the story in the middle, you have some points of like 1, 2, 3 that the Ross can wrap his brain around. And then there's like a fun joke or like a giphy in there.
Yeah.
A gif, whatever it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not every email will, you know, like the one email we did for you, that was the Lisa Vanderpump. Like that was a total kind of like in Sage's world, like a Joey email.
Yeah.
But then the one that was the one about the rainbows was a little bit more Phoebe.
Yeah.
You know, so it's your opportunity again to have fun with it.
For sure.
See what resonates, you know, and that's the thing. People go, oh, it didn't work. So now I have to scrap it. No, go back and see where you could tweak.
Exactly.
Don't go create something brand new. Just tweak around it.
Yeah. For sure. So, and that leads us to the next question I had for you, which is, so we're talking about these email sequences, and that's one of, you know, the main thing I teach inside of the Passive Project is how to craft automated email sequences that sell your digital products. So for course creators, membership site owners, people who sell templates, that kind of thing. And so when we're creating these email sequences, like there are a lot of emails that get written. And to your point, those can look different in order to grab the interest of all the different type of people who might be going through that funnel. So what are some of the kind of key, like big mistakes you've seen people make in the copy of their emails within a sales sequence? So I think one of them that we've already mentioned is by being completely focused on just the features of the product or diving too far into the how-to tutorials versus focusing on story, transformation, benefits, that kind of thing. Are there any other big mistakes that you've kind of come across?
Yeah. So I think like even going within the story is really digging deep, because a lot of times people think, well, if it's not my, I always describe it as like the Elizabeth Gilbert, like she's crying on the bathroom floor in the beginning of Eat, Pray, Love. Like she's going to change her life. You know, she says, this is the moment. I wouldn't spark for whatever 6 months later, but this was it. And people think like, well, if I don't have that story, then like I don't. So one of my clients last year, last summer, we did $100,000 launch for her. And so she's a weight loss coach. So of course she has that transformational story. But we can't tell that every time that email comes up, right? So there's also what relates to people as well is the normal everyday things that make you relatable. So I don't want people to go, oh, well, in order for the Phoebes, going back to what my friend Sage was saying, it's got to be this, you know, rags to riches story or whatever that means to you in your niche. People really relate to the everyday kind of slice of life things.
Yeah.
For example, we told about you being having a cold on the way to your mastermind.
Yeah.
Like those are ways that like that really relates to people. So for my client last summer, we pulled out moments of her life that we could then connect kind of back to her weight loss or connect back like to her kids. Like those. So when you're preparing for those emails, I would definitely say to create a list for yourself of like story prompts, but don't throw like, you could be in Target and something can happen to you like in the line while waiting. That is a great moment to talk about because people love Target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if we talk about like, you know, the Instagram like guru that we both like Tyler, I would go work with Tyler McCall just because I know he loves Target as much as me.
Exactly.
I'm like, whatever he's going to teach me, great. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. But I also know he loves Target and that's like an everyday life thing.
That's right. And so I guess it's also being in tune to like, as you're living your everyday life, really actually having a lens of like, ooh, that would be a really fun sort of little tidbit story to share with my people. Like my kid did this funny thing and, you know, it's relatable for all these reasons. And I've personally actually now have a little file in my Google Drive where I'll make a little note of something kind of funny or relatable or a little lesson or whatever that happened so that I can remember it and come back to it when I'm writing a new email or, you know, might turn into a podcast episode or whatever that might look like.
Yep. I had an email where I wanted to start kind of segmenting people based on who's a student for the Copy Confidence Society and who's more of like my clients that I work with personally, like you or my client that I mentioned, we did her launch or whatever. So I was like, well, it'd be boring if I just go, oh, click this button. So I'm like, And then I remembered that every Saturday morning, I was literally sitting where I am now and I look over at the console and there's like this pile of mail. I'm like, oh God. And because every Saturday I have to go through this pile of mail and there was a woman who used to live in our house before us. And a year and a half later, we're still getting mail for her.
We got the same thing going at my place.
So I presented this as like, you know, Natalie, her name poor Natalie Cruz, if she ever like knows, but I'm sure she's an awesome person. But it was like, I'm like, you know, I started the email about like every Saturday morning, I'm going through mail for Natalie Cruz, you know? And I said like taking up my Saturday morning, I never want to be the Natalie Cruz of your inbox. So I want to make sure that I'm only sending you the stuff that's awesome. So you're not spending Saturday mornings, sending your return to the sender and popping in your virtual like inbox for the mailman.
Exactly.
So do me a quick favor and just click which one of this thing is and boom, we cleaned up your inbox in one separate step and, you know, no more Natalie Cruz mail. That's way more interesting, you know, and that's just a simple, there's always an opportunity to connect it. Like if you had that moment that happened with your kids that were funny, there's always a way that you can create just a transition sentence. It's very simple to connect it back to your reader.
Yeah. It just makes it so much more enjoyable to read as a reader too. Like you have to remember that these people, it's not just an email address on your list, right? These are like actual people on the other side of that email address who are actually going to open up your email or not. Like if you're not writing compelling emails, you're just paying to have an email address on your list and taking up space and money and time for you of somebody who's not connecting with you. And so the more that we can make sure that our emails are ones that people, we're like training them to open our emails, right? Like your emails, I open them anytime they come into my inbox because I know that I'm going to laugh or like, I'll have like a little smile about something that's like kind of funny that's happened to you, right?
Yeah.
There are other people who maybe they don't come at it from like such a sort of funny perspective like you do, but it's more, I know that it's always going to be like an actionable, really valuable piece of advice that I can use in my business. And they've trained me to know that that's what's coming in their emails. And so I open them every single time. So there might be different reasons why, and sort of you have to think about like, what's your own special sauce? Like maybe not everybody is going to be able to like build so much humor into their emails. Like that might just not come naturally to them, but what is that special thing for you? Right?
Yes. I always say this to my students, especially where they're like, oh, Marisa, I don't have that like quick kind of like, you know, tongue or whatever that you have. And I said, well, you have whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
And let's figure out what it is. And it can also sometimes come from more of like a touching moment or telling a story like that. Or like you said, adding, making sure that every, you know, I always know if I open, I mean, the, you know, the queen, Marie Forleo, like if I open Marie, I know I'm going to have something that like Marie TV, she's like trained me to know that I could go or quickly watch it and grab something that's like actionable, like you said. So deciding that. And the other thing I do want to say is also just from a structure standpoint, is that you have to throw out all of the things that you learned in English class in high school. So if someone opens up, it doesn't matter how funny I am or how actionable it is. If someone, and I'm talking about the actual structure of it, they see like a block of text, they're out. So you have to think of it as short, crisp paragraphs. I'm talking like two sentences. Even if it feels like it's scrolling, it's okay. Remember the goldfish, like we're going to scan, we're scanners. So we want to make it easy and like easier to read and easier to scan. So I would say break up those paragraphs and then you can go through and bold, you know, highlight and press the B button at the top to bold certain things. I like to do this exercise with my students to say, if you just read the bold statements out loud of this email, would you still get an idea of what was going on?
Yeah, I do that for sure.
Yeah.
I have some that are bolded. I underline some stuff.
Yep,
of course, you don't want it to be like all bold. So I'll switch it up.
Switch it up.
And then we have, sometimes it's just like the link is the text. And then further down in the email, it might be an actual button.
You know,
so depending on what style people like, I do throw probably too many GIFs, whatever you call them, into my emails. But like, again, that is how I mix my humor into my
email. I love that.
And that's how people, I think that's what they expect now, right? Like on my list, they know that that's kind of the style that I write an email. And then always having that PS at the bottom, which you put into all of the emails when we work together. And I've kind of now continued to use that throughout all of my email marketing, is just always making sure I've got that PS. And I actually put it in a box with a different background color. So like, again, it's just like standing out and looking different.
Yeah. It stands out, looks different. And sometimes people just like, you know, I think there was, you know, PS for most is like the most read part of the email because people kind of just like scroll down. So that's like an extra point of connection. So I love that you do that as well. And then you can also break things up with like bullet points, you know, arrows. Like there's a lot of ways to just make it feel more readable and not like just this huge kind of block of text. Sometimes it's no joke with a lot of people, their message is great. And then I look and I go, well, this is just not readable. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And
it's formatting.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah. And we just look at the formatting and the structure and they're like, oh, you know?
And then once you have a bit of a format down, it's easy to then have that almost like a template for all of your emails going forward. You don't need to start from scratch every time.
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
So I am a big, any like students of mine will know that I'm a big tester and like believer in following the data in your business. I'm a, like a little bit numbers obsessed. So like I track my numbers pretty regularly and I watch things like open rates and landing page conversions and that kind of thing. And one, I just want to like preface this question with a bit of a story, which is I had this one landing page for this really good lead magnet that I'd created. It was really valuable, but I clearly was not communicating that well on this landing page and it was converting at like 20%. And like, this is a free thing. Like,
yep,
this should be higher than 20%. So I struggled with it for a long time, but I wasn't sort of willing to like throw in the towel on it. So what I ended up doing was I just consistently played with the languaging on that page. So like the first week I changed the title of the lead magnet. I ended up changing it again a little bit later. I switched out the bullet points kind of one by one of like the benefits it would provide. I also played with like the graphics and the imagery. So basically every week for a little while, I changed one thing every week. And so over time I could watch the analytics. And sometimes it went up, sometimes it stayed the same. So I know that change didn't really do anything. But over time, I was able to get it up. And now I still have that lead magnet and it consistently hovers at around 60% for a conversion rate, which is like amazing. And especially if you're using paid advertising, like you want to be bumping up those conversion rates as much as you can. Even 2%, 3%, 5% makes a huge difference. So for you, with your clients, like, do you recommend that they go back and continually try and improve the messaging in what they've already created?
Yes, for sure. I like think what you did is amazing because again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Oh, I'm just going to throw it out. Or it's like, what if you were just like, oh, I'm going to throw it out? Like, you know, being able to go back and go, okay, where can I tweak this moment? And a lot of times, and you want to spend a lot of your time on those headlines and like the cross headers, because again, if we're thinking about like the scanning brain, you know, making sure that those call out. So maybe if somebody's going to go back and tweak, I would say, go look at those places first. Go look at those headlines and those bigger, you know, where the things are in header one, header two, all those things. Go back and look at those first and see where can I make this more clear? Like we were talking about, where can I make sure that this calls out to the transformation or the results? Then maybe the next time you go in, okay, now I'm going to look at the little bullet points. Then you can look at like the button, all those things.
Yeah.
But really spending time at first on the headlines and you can see like a major change. You know, one of my clients last year, we did a landing page for her and it was converting well. It was converting at like 85%, which was amazing to start. So I was like, you know, you're always like, as the writer, you're like, awesome. I'll take my Mary Poppins umbrella. Like my work here is done. But then we ran it again after she'd done this. And now we had social proof. Now we had all these testimonials. So we added it to there. And I think we were up in like the 90s at one point.
That's insanity.
Because you're bumping it up now with the social proof. So sometimes people think like, oh, but if you do it one time, let's say like for you, and maybe you had somewhere where you could add a screenshot or the social proof, then watch and see how does that make a difference.
Absolutely.
You know, and we saw like, wow, really we were sitting around going, what's the difference? Like and also this is a design thing too. Like I don't work in a vacuum. You know, my client had an incredible designer. So we're like, well, nothing, like Michelle didn't change anything. I didn't really change anything, but wait, we added those screenshots. It must be that, you know? So I always say to people, look at the headlines. Where could you add some social proof in and keep tweaking? Like, let's bring some fun back into it. People get Absolutely. So like, oh, if it's not this time, then it's like, I'm a complete failure. It's like,
yeah.
No.
And we were just talking about this actually inside of the Passive Project membership about sales pages specifically. So when they actually, you know, have gone through your sequence, they've gotten to your sales page for your actual product, people create that sales page and then they forget to come back to it. And like, if you can incrementally increase the conversion of your sales page by 1% every single month, like think of what a huge difference that could make to your business by the end of the year. Right. And just to your point, like if you come back to it every single month and add in the latest and greatest screenshots or testimonials that you have, I know for myself, it usually takes, like with my programs, it's taking kind of 6 to 12 months after I've launched them for me to really deeply understand the messaging. Because when I first created it, I knew what I was teaching, but I didn't totally understand that transformation that I was providing for people. And so I've continually gotten better and better and better at it. And I think we can't expect to kind of knock it out of the park the very first time, especially when you're doing it yourself. Like when you haven't, say, had the funds to hire a copywriter to help you out.
No, for sure. And this is why, you know, learning copy for yourself, like I say to my students, like, this is something you need to learn for yourself.
Yeah. You know? I remember you said, in one of, I can't remember actually if you said this to me or if I read it on something of yours, but it was like the first things, you know, all you really need to run a business is like a copywriter and, what did you say? And like,
VA?
Did you say a VA?
I always say like, start with somebody to like we were saying before we even started, like the person who can help take those tasks.
Yes.
Yeah. So then you don't have to spend time.
Fascinated with me because I think a lot of times we think of like hiring all of these other people, without getting the copy part really solid first.
Yeah. Your message is so like important. Like who are you selling to? Like who, what's the offer? What's your niche? How can you get even more specific? Because once you do that, it becomes so much easier, you know, to write everything if you know specifically like who it's for. And people are so scared to do that, but that's where it opens up. Yeah. That's where you start to get known like as the expert in that area, as opposed to getting bunched together with other people because you're worried about like alienating people. So like getting super specific is so huge, and learning the skill for yourself, like my students, you know, and then not waiting. I love that you, something that you just said is like, what if you had waited around until you absolutely knew the messaging for whatever? Like, how do you know? You have to do it. So like my students in the Copy Confidence Society, it's like, we're right away, like put yourself out there and let's find out. It's going to tweak and change, you know, or even like pitching themselves. One of my students in the Copy Confidence Society just started, I have like this pitch email formula, and she just started using it, has already booked like 3 podcasts in less than 2 weeks.
Amazing.
One of whom she really loves. And now she's like, well, what? And I'm like, what do I say? What do I do? I'm like, just go in, because you're going to learn each time you do it and craft more how you're going to, your little signature talk and like all those things. But if you waited around till you're like super perfect, then you'd never do it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Always done is better than perfect.
Always.
I think like the entrepreneurs who've risen to the top are the ones who definitely just have like an action mentality and who just put themselves out there, and they're vulnerable, right? Like they've just put themselves on the line. So
yeah,
this has been amazing. Where
so
can people learn more about you? And also, I know you do a lot of like free videos and lives and all that kind of stuff. So people need to like get in the right place in order to watch those because they're amazing. So tell folks where to find you.
Yeah, the best place to find and come like discuss copy and messaging and ask all your questions and see me drink a glass of wine maybe once in a while is inside the Copy Chat Facebook group. Inside the Copy Chat Facebook group, it's this, you know, free community of coaches and creatives. And even if you're a product-based business, we cover a lot of that stuff in there for people as well. And I go live in there every Monday and Wednesday night. And
Amazing.
We talk about different aspects of writing, messaging. There's a chance, you know, we have like Q&A once a month. And then I also bring in some experts and people that I really love in there as well. So at least once a month, I'm bringing in somebody to kind of talk about like social media or like business or finances or something else. So it's a really like super connected community. And that's the best place to start to kind of hone in on your message and see if you jive with me and if I'm somebody who can help you kind of take that next step for yourself.
Perfect. So we will link to that free Facebook group and Marisa's website below in the show notes. So thank you so much for coming. It is always a pleasure to chat with you. And I'm sure everybody has some like really big sort of takeaways. I'm sure everybody's going to close up this podcast and go take a look first at their homepage and make little notes to themselves on what they can change. I feel like I'm even going to do that after we get off this call. So Thank you so much, Marisa.
Yeah. Thank you, Gemma. I loved being here.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Passive Project Podcast. Make sure to go download our free resource, our funnel blueprints. In there, I'm sharing the exact blueprints you need to create evergreen email funnels to sell your digital products on autopilot. It is a juicy one. We are also launching our brand new 3-part video series this Friday. So if you sell a membership, an online course, or any kind of digital product, you are not going to want to miss out on this free video series that we are dropping. So make sure to get notified when the first video drops by signing up to the link in the show notes. On next week's show, we are tackling, yep, all things email funnels. Want to know how I made more than 30 sales of my online membership while I was away on holiday, not even checking my computer? We are diving into the nitty-gritty so you can implement a funnel in your business too to grow your income on autopilot. That's next time on the Passive Project Podcast.